Good morning, and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning. How are we doing this morning? So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning right here on WLIW 88.3 FM Southampton, serving Eastern Long Island and Southern Connecticut, 96.9 in Western Suffolk, and streaming at WLIW.org/radio and on your favorite streaming platforms. Each show is also archived on my website at annliguori.com, that's annliguori.com, and distributed on my podcast via Audio Boom and iTunes. The Ryder Cup is one of my favorite sporting events. It's the biennial men's golf competition between teams from the United States and Europe, with the venue alternating between courses in the United States and in Europe. And this year, September 29th through October 1st, the Ryder Cup will be in Rome, Italy, on Marco Simone Golf Course, which is located about 30 miles northeast of the city. And you golf fans know how exciting Ryder Cups can be. I'll put it right up there with covering the Olympic Games, with the patriotism, the interest for each team, the compelling competition. It's just off the charts. And before I broadcast from any major competition, be it a major golf championship or a Ryder Cup or a Solheim Cup, I always like to play the course in advance. I don't always get to, but when I do, it certainly helps in my preparation. And Costa Cruise Lines made it possible for me to play Marco Simone Golf Club in advance of this year's Ryder Cup. We went in March, and this morning you will hear my conversation with Scott Knutson, the VP of Sales and Marketing for Costa Cruise Lines. Costa offers a golf package in which passengers can play 3 to 4 courses on their 7-day itinerary in the Mediterranean. And they offer this year-round because the climate there allows for it. And, you know, I love cruising. And with the golf package, it was just a dream come true. My particular itinerary was we started in Barcelona. You can play golf courses there. We did not have a chance to play in Barcelona because we were rushed for time. But you can play certainly a variety of top golf courses in Barcelona. And our first course on our itinerary was in Palma on the island of Mallorca. We played this lovely course called Golf Sun Guel, which just meandered through the beautiful hilly countryside with expansive views of the island of Mallorca. We caught it on a very windy day, so conditions were quite challenging, but it was just beautiful. The clubhouse and the terrace offer spectacular views of the island, and we really enjoyed that golf course. We went to Sicily, and towards Sicily, we did not play golf in Sicily. And in Rome, we actually did play. We played Marco Simone, which was thrilling. They were setting up the grandstand and hospitality areas for the Ryder Cup, and you just could feel the excitement in the air for the upcoming Ryder Cup competition. And Marco Simone has just a fascinating story. It was named after the castle there, Marco Simone Castle, which was a Roman fortified manor farm. And the tower there was originally built in the year 1000. So it goes way back. And in the 70s, the famous Italian fashion designer, Laura Biagiotti, she and her husband, Gianni Signa, they both lived in the restored castle. And by 1989, the golf course had been designed and built. The architects were Jim Fazio and David Mezzacani. And the golf course was the venue of the 94 and 2021-2023 Italian Open Golf Championships, and will be hosting the Ryder Cup at the end of September. So the golf course was actually built by this designer, Laura Biagiotti, and her husband. The course is hilly with small, fast greens and water hazards. There are reachable par fours, which make it so much fun, and several eagle-able par fives. And I think it's going to be a really exciting venue for the match play format of the Ryder Cup, with many risk-reward possibilities based on the water hazards there and the bunkering. And it's going to be challenging, but also offer a lot of fun possibilities for this match play format. This morning, you're going to hear a conversation I had with Gianpaolo Montelli, who's the Director General of the 2023 Ryder Cup. You know, this is the first time that Italy is hosting a Ryder Cup. And the Director General talks about how he and his team are very busy with all the preparations. So I hope you enjoy that interview as well. Back to the Costa Cruz. Well, the third and final course we played on our seven-day itinerary was a charming course outside of Marseille, France, called Golf Club Aix-Marseille, which opened in 1935. The clubhouse looks like a French country home. They have a very quaint restaurant, pretty big practice facility and instruction area, and everybody there was very friendly and welcoming. We did not golf every day, which made room for interesting cultural excursions, such as touring Palermo, Sicily, and visiting two medieval villages near Savona, Italy. I really enjoyed the ship. We were on the Costa Esmeralda, which was built in January of 2021. The interior design on board the ship was phenomenal. Art Deco decor and some of the bars and the Colosseum for entertainment, the cabins. The overall interior design is beautiful. And they even have a museum on board the ship showing off Italian design, innovation, and fashion through the years. The staff was really friendly, and the restaurant, all the restaurants were very accommodating. And Scott Knudsen, the first guest on the show, talks about the many ships in the Costa fleet, the many culinary options, and will give us more details about the golf excursions. I've been covering Ryder Cup since 1999 at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts, at what became known as the Battle of Brookline. The Americans staged that remarkable comeback to win that one 14.5-13.5 after trailing 10-6 at the start of the final day. And the U.S. defeated Europe 8.5-3.5 to seal the first victory for the Americans since 1993. And last year, when I had the opportunity to play the Country Club of Brookline prior to the 2022 U.S. Open, which was held there, I actually visualized that putt that Justin Leonard made on that 17th hole, that 22-foot birdie putt that he made to earn that half point, which closed out that 1999 Ryder Cup victory for the Americans. It will be interesting to see, you know, what kind of European Ryder Cup team will be put together this year by their captain, Luke Donald. Many of the top names who excelled in the Ryder Cup, Ian Poulter, Sergio, Lee Westwood, they are now LIV golfers, and they recently resigned their membership from the DP World Tour, the European Tour, so they will not be playing for Europe in the Ryder Cup, nor will they become captains in the future, so which is unfortunate, but I think the American team will be very strong. They dominated at the last Ryder Cup in 2021 at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin, 19-9. And do you know that the U.S. has not won a Ryder Cup on foreign soil since 1993, when Tom Watson captained the Americans to rally and win 15-13 over Europe at the Balfour in England? So I think it should be a very exciting Ryder Cup. And I'm so glad I had the opportunity to play Marco Simone Golf Course outside of Rome, the venue for this year's Ryder Cup competition. Hope you enjoy this special edition of Sports Interview with Anne Liguori. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Scott Knudsen, the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Costa Cruise Lines. And Costa is the official cruise line of the Ryder Cup, and happy to say I just returned from a seven-day Costa cruise in the Mediterranean, and one of our highlights, Scott, in terms of the golf offerings, was playing Marco Simone Golf and Country Club outside of Rome, which is the venue for the Ryder Cup. So we had a great time. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Oh, thanks so much, Anna. It's great to be here, and I'm glad that you had a chance to experience Costa and the whole Ryder Cup experience.
So now, when did Costa first start the golf offerings?
It hasn't been too long. I mean, it's been less than a year. So, we kind of realized that we always say we live in the Mediterranean wherever others visit, because we're headquartered in Genoa, been there 75 years. And we kind of looked at this and said, these guys are doing golf tournaments or golf programs in the Northern Europe, so Scotland, England, Ireland, etc. But that's seasonal, so you can be up there for maybe 4 or 5 months, and then it gets too cold to play. So, we're looking at people that want to play year round, and thought, what if we put a program together like this where you could sail year round in the Med, even in the coldest months? It's 58 degrees, which avid golfers would play any time in Minnesota if they
Yeah,
were
that's
at
true.
58 degrees versus 18. So we looked at it and we came up with this program, and we're pretty unique at it. And the difference with us, besides only being the major one in the Med, is that we can do it at an affordable price. So normally on something like this, you'd have to go, way up to a premium product, and looking at 9,000 a week. We can do this all for a third of that. So we feel like that's going to open up a whole new market for us, and expose, people that really want to golf in the winter, but they don't want to pay exorbitant prices. So we feel like it's a good match.
Absolutely. I mean, we really enjoyed the golf offerings, and passengers actually have a choice of golf courses that they can select in the various ports, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going individually, there's at least two or three courses per stop. So you've got five different stops. So you can play at least three courses a week, sometimes four, but you can choose how many you want to play. And it's reasonable. It's $1,100, for example, for a week, including without the cruise. But even with that, you're still under $3,000. So and then if you do a group and bring somebody from, let's say you bring a pro or just a group of friends, it goes even down from there and expands the number of courses we can play. So then you can go up to about 23 courses, because we can take the groups on a charter bus and take them to these courses and make it really special for them.
Well, we started in Barcelona, and our first golf was in Palma on the island of Mallorca. We played this golf course called Sun Gol Golf Course, and just a beautiful club, very expansive land and rolling terrain. And then, of course, we played Marco Simone, which we loved. And then outside of Marseille, France, we played a golf club, Aix Marseille, which was very charming. And it's very historic too. It was built in the early 1900s, and all the experiences were just very fun and memorable. I think, everyone was so very different, which we liked.
Yeah, that's kind of the interesting part about the Med, is that most people in North America are not real familiar with those courses, for obvious reasons. And if you have something you want to check off on your bucket list, this gives them a real opportunity to do three or four of those in 7 days. And all the accommodations are taken care of. You have a great time on the ship. We'll take care of your bags. We'll take care of your transportation. We'll get you to the course. We'll make tee times for you. So it's a pretty unique opportunity to do something that most golfers, aficionados, are not used to. They're used to going Northern Europe, and that's pretty much the only opportunity. So in a decent price range. So yeah, we've got these amazing courses. We've selected them, very delicately, and we think that the American market's really going to be a have an appeal for it.
And we just got off the ship, and our clubs were there, as well as the transportation. And off we went. They gave us a boxed lunch with a lot of fun stuff in it. And, so it was really well organized, I have to say. Very impressed with the golf offerings. But Another really cool thing is that on the days when you're not playing golf, there are so many kinds of excursions that you can take. And as I mentioned, our itinerary started in Barcelona. We went to Mallorca. Then in Palermo, Sicily, we did a walking tour. And then we went to Savona, outside of Genoa, and we booked tours to these two charming medieval cities, Noli and Final Burgo, both towns in the region of Liguria. And boy, were they interesting, just walking around these charming, like, medieval towns. So my point in bringing all this up is, in addition to the golf, you can also get the entire cultural experience by going on some of these excursions.
I'm so glad you brought that up because Savona, our headquarters is in Genoa, and I go to Genoa, and it's like, all right, can we go to Portofino? Yes. When you get to Savona, it's like, what are we going to do? Been there a million times. We go to the little fort and things. And my wife and I, and we travel together when I do these trips. And then we found this shore excursion, the exact same one that you did. And I had no idea that Savona, the outskirts of Savona, were that quaint and that beautiful. And we walked those two villages just like you did. And it was probably the highlight of our tour outside of the golf for me. It was just a pleasant surprise. And I mean, that's true European culture and quaintness. And and we got you there. You had plenty of time there, I'm sure, to experience the whole thing. Cobblestone streets and little cafes and shops. And then it was just something that you wouldn't necessarily find on your own. So we're happy that we have that opportunity to do shore excursions there, because that was, like I said, one of the highlights of our trip.
We also had a very knowledgeable tour guide who spoke about five different languages, which she had to, because you have passengers there from France, from Italy, obviously, from Germany, from the United States. So I was very impressed with her knowledge of all these languages. But talk a little bit about the cuisine offerings as well, Scott, because the variety is pretty amazing on the Costa Cruise lines with all your options.
Yeah, so on our ships, and particularly the two ships that we offer the golf program, it's the Smeralda, Costa Smeralda. She's almost 6,500 passengers when she's full, one of the largest ships in the world. And Ta Costa Toscana, which is a sister ship, came out a year later. So they offer 16 different restaurants and bars. 16 different restaurants, and then many more bars. Everything from the top of the line, the archipelago, which you've got three different chefs who are all Michelin starred, and they create different menus, very unique. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit. But otherwise, you've got every other option available. There's a teppanyaki bar. There's a pizzeria, which if you can imagine, the Italians do that very well. 14 different options, or you can create your own pizza if you'd like. There's a sushino, which is a little bit of sushi, a little bit of what we call just like a sashimi option. There's the
Love that.
Ferrari,
I think
the
it was
Ferrari.
20 euro for all you could eat, all the sushi you could eat.
Yeah, and then you've experienced the Ferrari bar.
I love a Ferrari bar.
There's the Heineken Steakhouse, which it's actually a high-end steakhouse, but it's a sports bar. So if you really want a great steak, but you want to have maybe a little bit of music and maybe a little bit of entertainment, you can do that. The Campari bar, the other Nutella, for snacks in between. So there's so many different options on board that you're never going to lack for a great place to have dining. And you can always just go to the main dining room, and the main dining room offers fantastic cuisine every night. So you can either do that, or you can make a special night and go out and have something a little bit different.
Yeah, really, the options were endless. And as you mentioned, the restaurant Archipelago, offering a choice of menus from three famous chefs. And we selected the menu designed by the Italian chef, Bruno Barberi. Seven Michelin stars. I didn't realize there were seven. So how could you pass that up, right? And we were treated to sea scallops, pasta, lobster, lamb, a dish, a molecular appetizer with this bubble covering that evaporates when you puncture it. I mean, it was not only fine cuisine, but it was also kind of like an art form, a performance, the way they served it and, everything that went into it. So we enjoyed that tremendously.
Yeah, it's kind of obnoxious to take out your camera as something like that, but it's tempting because I mean those are the memories that some of these experiences create. When you go into Bruno Barbieri, he's the number one chef in all of Italy, and he's been with us for 10 years. And yeah, he does an amazing menu. And then you've got others, another who's French, another with Spanish. So whatever your desire, and you can do all three. If you want to do, three different nights, you can experience that. So it's the memories that those things create. Obviously, you came back and you remembered exactly what it was like when those bubbles popped. It was like you don't really see that every day at home.
And I was
So.
one that took my camera out, my phone, and obviously had the maitre d' talk about what we were actually eating. And so, yes, I'm one of those.
Yeah, but I mean that's what vacations and experiences are all about is something out of the ordinary and experiencing that. And you do that and then you go off to Ferrari bar and have a glass of champagne afterwards, and then you go to a show and you walk down to your cabin. You don't have to drive anywhere, you don't have to fly anywhere. You're home. So next day you open the curtains and you're in a different place. So we always say, you relax and we'll change the scenery. So next day you wake up in a whole different place.
Well, and speaking of the cabins, the design, the interior design, not only of the individual cabins, but the entire ship. And of course, the Italians known for their design and their innovation and decor. And I particularly really took notice of that and really admired that. And there was actually a little museum on the ship. We were on the Costa Smeralda, which showcased the Italian fashion designers through the years and Italian vehicles from automobiles to motorcycles and furniture. And that was a nice touch on our ship. I really enjoyed seeing that.
Yeah, that was a first for us. And we wanted to highlight because the Italians, like you just said, they have a famous tradition of style and creativity and design, and we wanted to highlight that. So we've had guests on board and media on board that spend half an hour in there. And it's not that big of a space, but it's a unique situation. We thought, why not highlight all that's Italian? So that's what we did with that area, and it's been a huge a hit. And guests have really appreciated the opportunity to go back 75 years and see all the progress, and they'll look back at things and see something that was like, oh my gosh, that started 50 years ago, and here we're still using it now. So it's incredible.
Can you talk about the fleet of Costa ships, Scott, and where our ship came into that order?
Yeah, so we've got nine ships in the fleet. We've reduced a little bit post-COVID because of situations, and we brought a couple of ships over from Asia that. Because they closed down, so we've loaned those ships off to Carnival brand for a little while. But in the meantime, all of our ships are now within 15 years old. Some of them, most of them, are within 8 years old. So the Smeralda that you were on, even though she's 3 years old, she hasn't been sailing because of COVID until about a year and a half ago. So she's basically brand new. Toscana is her sister. There's 6,500 passengers, 185,000 tons, which means they're the seventh and eighth largest ships in the world, which basically gives you all these options that you experienced while you were on board. Other than that, we've got plenty of other ships. We sail two or three more in the Mediterranean. We're in Northern Europe with three ships. We go to South America in the winter months. So that's just wrapping up. We're in the Caribbean with a couple of ships. We go to Dubai with Toscana, which is sister to Smeralda. So we're pretty much all over the world. And the Costa Deliciosa left in January for around the world cruise, 108 days, and she'll be coming through North America in a couple of weeks, so we'll get the chance to see her. But yeah, the fleet is very modern, and the last two ships, Smeralda, that you were on, and Toscana, they're liquefied natural gas, so they sail on the most fuel efficient, cleanest fuel possible in the world, and we were the first to introduce that. So we feel like we're pretty innovative in sustainability. The other point, one thing I want to mention is, we have a sustainability program where we ask guests, to not indulge. If you're not going to eat everything you're going to pick, then just pick what you're going to eat, and we'll donate the rest of the food to local markets in the Mediterranean. So we have a company that comes up and picks up non-perishable foods and delivers them to the local market, so that we can help the communities in that area.
I was going to ask you about that, because the amount of food that they must have on board for any given week is just incredible, because of the variety and because, when you're eating a normal Italian meal, right? It's not just three courses. They're about five or
Right.
six. So it's great to hear that you do something with the food.
Yeah, and if you notice, if you noticed on your ship, it's not contrary to some of our American counterparts. It's a taste, not waste. So you taste a little bit of each course. Whether it's a couple of appetizers and then main course and then a dessert, but it's giving you the flavors of the country that we're in at that time, and Bruno and his crew, select menus from the local areas that we go to. So when you have dinner, for example, you're going to get a taste of that local cuisine, but you're not it's not going to be gorging. It's not going to be these over these sauces that are overwhelming and portions that are overwhelming. It's going to be something that's you're going to come away with it like, wow, I had these seven different flavors, and it was an amazing experience, instead of I'm so full,
Right.
I
Now that's
can't
a
walk
good
home.
point, because the desserts were all so creative and delicious, but they weren't huge portions that you can get, in
Right.
some American restaurants, which, obviously was a good thing because you didn't want to overgorge, right? But so I understand that Costa is celebrating 75 years. So how are you celebrating?
Yeah, so we are. We're making we're celebrating internally, but we're also celebrating, our culture and the brand. But we're also going to, share that with our customers and past guests and future. So we're offering, $75 off the rate, $75 on board credit. We just doubled that today. This is good timing. So $150 off the rate and $150 on onboard credit. So let's say you book a cruise at Barcelona that you were on, Smeralda, and it's $1,400, for example. Now you've got a $150 discount, and you've got $150 to spend on board to go to Archipelago and some of these other restaurants, or put it to a drink package. So we're putting out a promotion like that. As you're saying, we appreciate your business and we appreciate your loyalty. And come on back and see us, and we'll make it special for you.
And I know you've been involved in the cruise business for what, over 30 years. So I'm curious to find out how the business has changed, in your opinion, in those years.
Well, it has changed tremendously. I mean, I was at Carnival brand for 20 years, which is part of a Carnival Corporation that Costa is part of. And then I've been over at Costa for almost 15 years. So, I see it as an evolution. More people are cruising. For different reasons. You might go on one brand because it's fun and sun. You might go on another because it's luxury and it's or exploration. In our brand, I look at it as people that are interested in exploration. They want to go into the ports of call. I'm sure like you did, whether you went into Marseille, you were in Barcelona, other places. And they also want to experience the cultures of the people while they're on board. So we're pretty unique in that we have about 75 different countries that sail with us, whereas the North American brands probably have, a dozen maybe. So it gives us an opportunity to say to somebody that's interested in Costa, if you're interested in a fully immersive international experience without the international price tag, then Costa is a perfect opportunity, a perfect alternative, because we are you are gonna you're not gonna be alone with Americans. I mean, you're gonna be, like you said, usually it's 5 to 8, 10%. But if you go to Rome or you go to Venice, are you going to be with all Americans? No. So that's part of the charm of it. So part of our appeal is that for people that want to go to different places, meet new people, experience new cultures, have new experiences, taste different cuisine, authentic Italian cuisine, and now they can golf. So to bring it all back together.
It checks all the boxes for sure. CostaCruises.com. That's where you go to learn everything you want to know about the Costa Cruise itineraries and the golf options. And that's CostaCruises.com. Scott, thanks so much for joining me on Sports Interview. Really appreciate you being on the show and giving us more insight into Costa Cruise Lines and the golf offerings.
It's my pleasure, Anne, and I'm so glad that you had the experience with us.
Thanks
Appreciate
so
it.
much.
Ciao.
Welcome back, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Gian Paolo Montali, the Director General of the Ryder Cup.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's so
a
good to
pleasure to
talk
meet.
To you. Thank you, Gian. And so talk about the preparations for the 2023 Ryder Cup. How long has the Italian Federation been preparing for this Ryder Cup?
The Italian Golf Federation has been working since 14 December 2015, the day on which the Ryder Cup of Europe board awarded the Ryder Cup to Italy, a challenge won thanks to the intuition of the president of the Italian Golf Federation, Mr. Franco Chimenti. And it has been 5 years lived dangerously, but we are very proud of the work done. We are in the final rush of a very difficult journey with the postponement of years for the pandemic and the suggestion of changes at the top of the Italian government. We are very proud to have respected all the time schedule and have respected about the economic parameters.
So how are the preparations coming, Jean? Is the course ready for the Ryder Cup?
Yes, work on the Ryder Cup infrastructure build began as planned on February 1st, 2023. Initially, the phase of this construction includes the first tee grandstand, which will have 4,800 seats in total. The first tee experience is one of the iconic aspects of any Ryder Cup. Some of this infrastructure will be in the position for the Italian Open, which takes place from May 4 May and to 7 May. In the term of the legacy for the Roman citizen, work is underway on the new road project, which will leave last legacy for the local community around Marco Simone Golf and Country Club. Much of this work will also be completed ahead of May's Italian Open. We hope.
We hope, right? Well, I had the opportunity to play Marco Simone Golf and Country Club. I really enjoyed the golf course. It's hilly. It has narrow fairways. The greens were very, very quick. There are a lot of runoff areas. There's a lot of risk-reward holes because of the water hazards. And I think it really will be a fun course for a Ryder Cup format.
I am sure that we are very good players, and you have understood very well what is the profile of the new golf course of Marco Simone. The course of Marco Simone was fully reconstructed with the drama of match play and the Ryder Cup in mind. The course has many elevation changes through it, so it is going to be a great match play course from a fans' viewing perspective. The 18 holes redesign project was led by European Golf Design in cooperation with Tom Fathom II and was completed in the March of 2021.
Tom Fazio II. Yes, I love Tom Fazio courses, and I particularly enjoyed, you know, you have two par fives, number 8 and number 9, and so the guys, you know, well, they can go forward in two. There's some hazards along the way that they have to worry about. And then the downhill par 5 18th is going to set up. I think it'll be very exciting to see what's going to happen on that hole as players go for it. But there's, again, there's water on the left.
Yes, but my favorite hole is the 16. Do you like it, that hole?
I do. Tell me about it. Why is it your favorite?
Yes, the 16th. Because it's a hole that you have the possibility to play in free, but the hole is in four. And I think that that hole will be the hole where we decide the Ryder Cup 2023.
Is that the par three downhill?
Yes, with the small lake.
Very tough hole. I'm very happy to say I did par that hole. But my partner, who I was playing with, hit it left, and it was very tough for him to get up and down. But yes, you know, there's some very exciting holes, very hilly golf course, beautiful views, Gian. I understand we didn't see the St. Peter's Basilica, but I understand you can see St. Peter's Basilica from the very top.
Yes, I think that this was the really reason because the Ryder Cup Europe decided to bring the Ryder Cup in this golf course. Because when you arrive at the little hill and you see the couple of the San Pietro, you are in the history. You are inside to the most iconic town in the world. And I think that this will be a very big experience, not only for the people that we see the Ryder Cup in that day, but especially for the million of people that are in the television, and have the opportunity to see the Ryder Cup, but to see what there is, what there are around the golf course.
And so what do you think the course will bring out from the players on both the U.S. team and the European team from a strategy standpoint?
It's really difficult to make a technical forecast because the Ryder Cup is a unique race. I know that some minor changes will be made to the course following feedback from the Luke and his vice captains. One of the advantages of being the home captain in a Ryder Cup is that Luke is able to have input into the course setup, and he will do that ahead of September.
So Luke has the opportunity to make suggestions so that the European team may gain some advantage. But it is a very difficult course. I think it's going to be very, very exciting. So I know this is the first time that Italy has hosted a Ryder Cup, Gian. What have been the pros and cons of preparing for the country's very first Ryder Cup?
Italy, you know, that is not a country with a big profile about the golf. It's not a nation with a great tradition. So it was not easy to make everyone understand the importance of an event like the Ryder Cup. We were able to dialogue with all the interlocutors who were at the top of the government. The CONIS has always supported us, and also Regione Lazio, Comune di Roma, and Comune di Guidonia Montisegno have been close to us. Currently, initiatives such as Golf in Piazza are on their way in synergy with the Minister of the Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation, the Minister of Tourism, and the Minister of the Sport.
So what is hosting the upcoming Ryder Cup? What does it mean to Italy? You know, it's not a huge golf country, as you say, but what does it mean that the country can now host its first Ryder Cup?
This is one of the most important legacies that remain after the Ryder Cup. In terms of economic revenue, the estimated impact is between 500 million and 1 billion. Italy will benefit economically from the growth of golf tourism. The international image of the nation will have even more prestige. This is demonstrated by the fact that Antonio Tajani, Vice President of the Council of the Foreign Minister, indicates the Ryder Cup project as a reference model also in view of the Italian candidates with the Rome Expo 2030. Big events help inspire the next generation of golfers. So the ambition is for the 2023 Ryder Cup to be the catalyst for many young Italian boys and girls and the youngest across Europe to take up a golf.
So what has the response been like so far in terms of interest and ticket sales?
Italian fans received a significant number of the tickets. One of the top five countries, along with the UK, United States, Ireland, and Germany. We expect around 46,000 people on site per day. There was a big demand for the ticket, with people from 114 different countries applying for tickets and the ballot last autumn. I think that Italian people will be more than 10% of the total amount of the public go inside to the golf course.
10%. Are they aware, Gian, that this is going on? The people in Rome and outside of Rome, are they aware that the Ryder Cup will be there?
Yes.
And are the Italians very much aware that the Ryder Cup will be in Italy?
Yes, but the only problem is that the perception of the Italian people don't arrive in the last years. But the ballot for the ticket started two years ago. And when to do the reservation, many Italian persons that don't have had the opportunity to buy the tickets. And for this reason, we don't are very happy for this. And I think that we are very happy because the most important television in Italy have take the imaging for the Ryder Cup. And I am sure that all the most part of the Italy will see the Ryder Cup through the television.
So are tickets sold out right now?
Sold out, yes.
Oh my!
It's just finished. Ah, yes, it's just finished. It's just 1 year and a half. It's finished. There is only some people, but not, so, sorry, there is only some tickets, but not for the day of the race, but only for the day for the practice, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
But that's exciting. When were tickets sold out for the competition days?
Well, one year ago.
Wow, that's amazing. Well,
yes.
I was able to play Marco Simone as part of the Costa Cruise Lines, which is the official cruise lines of the Ryder Cup. And the opportunity for the passengers on Costa Cruise who are part of the golf package to play Marco Simone and other golf courses, prestigious golf courses throughout Europe, is a very, very special one. So any comments on the fact that people from all over the world who take this Costa Cruise Lines can have the opportunity to play Marco Simone?
Yes, I am very proud for this opportunity, because I have personally worked on this arrangement. This marketing operation demonstrates that the appeal of golf and will help to grow the number of golfers. Another very important aspect is that golfers from all over the world can discover Italy from an artist, culture, and naturalistic point of view, thanks to golf. I want to say thank to the Costas management for this strategic choice.
It was a wonderful cruise, and I just loved having the opportunity to play Marco Simone before returning to Rome to broadcast for my radio station in New York. So, Gian, can you talk about your role on the Italian Golf Federation?
Oh, I expected the role of executive general manager of the Italian Golf Federation, because I wanted a new challenge in a sport after the victories as a coach of the volleyball, both in the team and in the national team. And after the experience in the football with the Juventus soccer team and the Roma soccer team. The result of the Ryder Cup project will be seen after 2023. I can already be proud of the social impact of the inclusion initiative, SOC as a golf school, golf is a woman, and golf for autism. The perception of the Italian towards golf has changed thanks to the message of sport for all.
So your background is in volleyball and other sports, and are you a golfer yourself?
Yes, I play golf, but I am not a very good player. And I think that for me, the golf is a sport that have a very important value. Especially, it is for this reason that we have worked in this 6 years about some project with the golf at school, golf for the woman, golf for the inclusion. Every year, it's just 4 years that we organize that Open of Italy for the disabled people. And we are very proud for this, because the golf for me is a really a sport for all. Because in Italy, there was the perception, because this project of the Ryder Cup, that the golf was only a sport for the rich man. And we have worked in another way. We have worked to convince the people that this is the sport for the whole.
The same happened in France for the Ryder Cup in Paris a few years ago. Hopefully the Ryder Cup did more to promote golf to everybody and, you know, to encourage inclusion in France and all of Europe as it is in Italy. So let's talk about Francesco Molinari. He won the 2018 Open Championship. He's been a part of 3 winning Ryder Cup teams. Will he be involved this year?
We wait, Francesco, especially we wait that Francesco will be in the 12 players that play the Ryder Cup. For us to have 1 or 2 players inside to the Ryder Cup, for us will be a very, very important image. The sport need an iconic, and the players are iconic for the imaginary collective of the people. And we are sure, and we hope that Francesco in the next month come back to his golf, and we hope that Francesco go inside in this particular race, and we hope that to have another one, if it's possible, play Italian player. I want to remember that, for example, in the Ryder Cup in France, don't was no one of the French player. And this, I think that it doesn't, this don't want very good. And our dream after to bring the Italian, the Ryder Cup in Italy and to building the Ryder Cup in Italy is to have one or two player in the race.
Of course, Francesco, we know his brother Eduardo plays. There are a lot of Italians who stand out in the sport. Constantino Rocca, what probably was the most famous Italian golfer before Francesco, right? And you have a first Italian woman to win on the LPGA, Silvia Cavallari. So there are a number of Italians who have made their mark in golf, both men and women, on the European Tour.
Yes, we wait you, when we wait all the PGA member with the open hand, and we hope that all the weeks will be a big experience for all of you, and not only for the race, but especially because this is the town where the all started. This is the most iconic town in the world. And I think that after the race, when the people come back to the center of Rome, will live a very particular and very important experience. And my dream is that this Ryder Cup remain in the story than the most iconic Ryder Cup in the story.
Well, it's very exciting. I can't wait to be there. And I'm sure all of Italy will be wonderful hosts, and the course will be perfect for this wonderful format of the Ryder Cup. Very exciting international event. Gian, thanks so much for giving me some of your time, and best of luck when we see you in September. We're looking forward to it.
Sure, of course. And I'm sorry for my, I ask you apologize, and your fan for my English. I hope that you have understand whole. I wait you and all the USA people here in Rome for the Ryder Cup 2023.
Gian Paolo Montale, Director General of the 2023 Ryder Cup. Thanks so much. My thanks to Scott Knutson, to Gian Paolo Montale, to Mike Goodsell in production, and to all of you for listening. As Walt Disney once said, all our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. Be safe, be kind, and I'll talk with you next Saturday morning right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.